Not all guarantees are created equal. That's what makes the Total Trust Guarantee from Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service so special. It gives you 20/20 vision into the work we do. And now, you can get $10 off any 17-point oil change. Go to speedyoil.com/save for details. Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service, where you're in and out and back on the road with full service and total trust. Most vehicles discount off regular price. See store for details. See website for details on the Total Trust Guarantee.
All right, we're getting ready for a fun week of basketball. The Suns and the Warriors, a little home and home. Tonight in Phoenix, Friday, right here in the Bay. And to help us break it down in the beginning of the NBA season, our good friend PJ Carlos.
What's up, gentlemen?
PJ, hey, PJ, how you doing?
How you doing?
Doing well, thank you. How you guys doing?
Cannot complain. Cannot complain. Good. Just looking forward to a fun game tonight. I don't know. Yeah, I thought these still two teams would be good. I don't know if I saw like five losses between them good. In your mind, what separates the two teams, how they go about their business?
Well, I mean, in Phoenix's case, you got a lot of continuity. And obviously, I mean, they were in the finals last year. So, I mean, I don't want to say it makes sense, like that, you know, you should have expected them to be whatever the hell they are, 17-3 or whatever their record is. But, you know, you look at them, I mean, A, they have really good players. They're extremely well coached. They were in the finals last year, and they've just picked up where they left off. Actually, they didn't. It was kind of funny. That's the, if you think about it, they were a little rocky the first week or so. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody was kind of saying, well, you know, don't worry, they'll be okay eventually. But they kind of stumbled coming out of the blocks. They haven't stumbled since. Mm-hmm. And the Warriors are better than I thought they would be. I should say they're better quickly than I thought they'd be. I thought they had a chance to be very, very good. They're not very, very good. They're great. I think people aren't giving their defense enough credit, which is, you know, understandable because they're so kind of spectacular and overwhelming on the offensive end. But you look at their defensive numbers, that they're even more overwhelming what they're doing on the defensive end. But, I would, you know, if you'd said to me, somebody's going to be 18-2 right now, Warriors would not have been at the top of my list or close to the top of my list for getting it together that quickly.
You know what I find really interesting about this game is that the Warriors score more points from three, percentage-wise, than any team in the NBA. Phoenix is way down the list on that. They must be the best mid-range game in the best mid-range team in the game when you look at Booker and Paul and what they can do. I mean, they are so good and so crafty. Coming off pick and rolls, they can lob it to Aiden, they can whip it across court, and they're both very good at that 15-17 footer. So I find this game interesting. The Warriors want to drive, draw, and kick and really space you out, and the Suns really kind of old school, not so much low post, but old school in the fact that they're going to work that pick and roll. When they get to that 15-16 foot mark, right where they want to be, they're more than happy to take that shot and make it most of the times.
Well, you make a good point, T, and it's funny because they're not overwhelming in any one number. I mean, they're better than most in the league, but it's not like they're only pick and roll. They got DeAndre. Yeah. They can also they got a post guy or a roll guy that they can go inside. But even when the two of them run, the Warriors will run. Not that they will always not take a layup, but they'll run to shoot threes. They're both very good in transition. When you picture Phoenix running, you see them running for layups or dunks, and you know, like they attack the basket more in transition. Their pick and roll is really, really good because they have so many guys. I mean, you start with CP and Devin, but there's a couple guys that are just so good running the pick and roll themselves, and they've got the other guys are good. Either spreading, some of them can shoot it good, but they're really good with that second pass. You know how to pick and roll. Remember in the old days, you used to just hit a big guy and you'd hit him like, tell him stop at the foul line, I'll hit you, and then you make the next pass. They make that second pass out of the pick and roll very, very well also because they have so many good, they have so many skilled players. They got people who can pass and catch the ball. And I know you say that and people look at you and say, well, of course you can pass and catch the ball. You wouldn't be in the NBA, but you know that's not the case. There's a lot of guys that
this is definitely the case.
Particularly on the move.
So you know what they can do, PJ?
They can defend in the half court.
They can pass it and then they can catch it, but they can't catch and pass it. If you ask them to do one of those things, they're good.
They can catch it standing still, but they can't catch it when they're moving.
We're talking to P.J. Carlissimo on the UMA guest line. Suns haven't lost P.J. in over a month. And, you know, we've seen Steve be really creative defensively this year. They went box and one against the Hawks with Trae Young. They went that triangle and two look against KD and Harden. What do you think? I mean, Gary Payton has given Steve just another lockdown defender. He has just been absolutely incredible on the ball at times. Heck, Trae Young in the game against the Hawks, PJ, didn't even want to shoot the ball in the second half. I don't think he shot the ball in the fourth quarter. How do you defend the Suns? How do you think Steve
will? You defend him very, very carefully. But, I mean, you got to be back. You know, if you take care of the ball yourself and it's that simplistic thing that I say once a game when there's a good transition team, if not more times, if you put the ball in the basket, it makes a huge difference. You know, how effective you are on the offensive end, you know, how well you take care of the ball and not turn it over and get them running, and how well you just shoot it, like you execute and put the ball in the basket and make them take it out of bounds, it makes a huge difference. Now, you look at the way these two teams score, they score more quickly than most teams. But I think it's going to start with their offense. I think they do have more good matchups, individual matchups, than most teams. The Warriors do in trying to defend Phoenix than most teams. But I'm really anxious to watch the game unfold. Whatever way Steve chooses to play, they still only had one day to get ready. Yes, it's a big game. It's a game they certainly, right now, you figure they'd be to be seeing each other in May or June. But by the same token, it's still one game. Mm-hmm. And obviously, we're all hoping that the Warriors come February, March, April, May will include Clay and are going to be an even different team than they are now. So I think he'll have a game plan. They've certainly thought about it. But what I'm intrigued by is as the game unfolds, like what's Phoenix hurting them with, and then what moves does he make? Does he change guys? Does he double guys? How's he going to play how are you going to play the pick and rolls? I think the moves he'll make during the game, you know, will he throw some zone at him or will he junk it up like you talked about? I think it's going to be more interesting during the course of the game, the adjustments that that both teams make, frankly.
I think a lot of people are going to watch these two games, PJ, over the course of this week and realize the Warriors' ascendance this year. It's not just because Steph Curry is outstanding and maybe a better version than what we've seen even when he was at his absolute peak a few years ago. This is a team. We've talked about what they're able to do offensively. As you mentioned, their defense in some ways is criminally underrated, but people are going to see these two games. They are going to learn about the Warriors.
I couldn't agree with you more. They're also learning about Wiggins and some of the other players. I think, frankly, Draymond looks to be don't misunderstand what I'm saying. It wasn't Draymond was a bad player the last couple of years, but Draymond's playing, if anything, better than he's ever played, particularly on the offensive end. I mean, it's incredible what he's doing. So I agree with you. They never got credit when they were the best team, not just in the league, but the best team in a long time in the league. They never got credit for as good as they were defensively in those days, too. Everybody would say, yeah, I know they're good. But, if you sat on the other bench, if you were trying to score on them, you just understood why it was impossible because they scored. You took it out of bounds. You're up there. And they did such a good job getting back, and they took things away from you. And it just seemed like you were expending so much energy trying to score. And then the second you either turned it over or missed or made it, they were just running back down your throats. Mm-hmm. The pressure they put on you was unlike any team in the league. No team in the league puts that kind of pressure on you on both ends of the floor. So I'm anxious to see them as they evolve. It's scary that they could be better later in the year than they are right now. And even though it's only one game and it's early, we're all looking forward to seeing tonight and seeing how they go at each other. I mean, look at the amount of talented the wing players alone are great in this game, so it's going to be really good to see. I'm waiting to see Draymond step up tonight, also, frankly, to be honest with you, because he's been so good so many nights, and I'm anxious to see what he can do tonight.
Well, the Phoenix Suns are probably the only team in the league, or one of the few teams in the league, that can match the Warriors' depth. They have nine guys on the team, nine that average 8 points or more. They play a bunch of dudes, and all those guys get in there and contribute. And that's kind of been part of the Warriors. Yeah. Go ahead.
And again, they can all pass and catch the ball.
Yep, exactly.
Pass and catch.
And they can do it together.
Yep. I don't know. I love the way Monty and Steve are going about it right now. But again, Phoenix is really interesting, the different things they can do. And I haven't seen DeAndre as much this year. I've seen, bits and pieces of games, and I've skipped ahead and watched ends of games and stuff. But he to me, as the year evolves, is going to be the key to, if he can go to that next level, which at times he showed glimpses of last year, and then obviously he didn't. He wasn't quite able to do it in the finals. Not that he necessarily should have been. Brook Lopez kind of was unbelievable, as were a number of the Milwaukee bigs. But DeAndre's the key to me, to them. I don't think there's much mystery with their other guys. Mm-hmm. Their guards, it would be nice if they make more threes, but their guards and their wing players, I think you know what you're going to get. If DeAndre goes to the next level as a big and a really dominant big in a game, then they may be there again and have a realistic chance to win it. But to me, there's no mystery with the other guys. What you see is what you get, and you have a right to expect it. It's going to happen. No question about that.
Steph Curry and Draymond Green are both, these guys are focused, they're motivated, they're both in great shape, and you see it in the half court. I mean, the ball movement for Golden State, PJ, it's fast, it's crisp. They're really, they're sharing the basketball, a lot of body movement, a lot of ball movement. But I want to ask you about the center position. Golden State's done a great job defensively, and one of the areas is against big men. They're limiting centers' production. You mentioned Ayton, but McGee has been a double-double guy, I think, in two of the last three games. Yeah. How are the Suns using McGee? Is it just simple lob threat? Because he's been productive the last couple of games.
You know, it's funny. I mean, years ago, everybody used to say, well, JaVale can't do this. And the truth is, he's been doing it, whether it was L.A. or whether it was – he's showing more what he's been capable of. It's also the old thing. You can't when you start defining who you're going to – what you're going to try and take away from them or what you're going to try and stop, there's so much pressure on you to stop the other guys that it extends you. And even though they may not be a great three-point shooting team or shoot a million threes, the truth is you spend so much attention on those other guys that JaVale is free to do what he does, whether it's roll to the basket, whether it's sometimes catch the short pass and actually do something with the ball himself. I just think that, we were all wrong or he wasn't being used maybe to his fullest potential. He's capable. He's clearly shown he's capable of being much more of a factor offensively than I think any of us ever realized he could do. I mean, it used to be he was like DeAndre. Just when he rolls to the basket, hit him and he could dunk the ball. And that kind of limited, what you tried to get from him or what he could do. And the truth is he's capable of doing more and he's showing that now. But the problem is, I'm not being smart. When you start listing the things you're going to try and slow down or take away, he ain't making the list. So he's free to do what he wants and contribute in the many ways that he is contributing because supporting the cast that he's playing with is so good and demands so much of your attention that he can play. And, for a lot of years, he was just a guy, that he was limited and there was only so much he could do. So you really weren't overly concerned. People would like to be overly concerned now, but you can't be because
not all guarantees are created equal. That's what makes the Total Trust Guarantee from Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service so special. It gives you 20/20 vision into the work we do. And now, you can get $10 off any 17-point oil change. Go to speedyoil.com/save for details. Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service, where you're in and out and back on the road with full service and total trust. Most vehicles discount off regular price. See store for details. See website for details on the Total Trust Guarantee.
The other guys they have.
His name does not appear at the top of the whiteboard, that is for sure.
No, he may not make the whiteboard.
PJ Carlissimo talking hoop with us here on the Tolbert, Kruger, and Brooks show. The Lakers' early season mediocrity, I'll call it that, since they're 11-11. Is that just, hey, they're trying to figure this out, or are we seeing problems that we should have maybe anticipated, considering how many new guys they're trying to put into the mix.
I just think they were destined to be a soap opera from the beginning. That's clearly in play. And they were likely to have injury problems because of the age of their players. And not just AD's not real old, but AD's got a pretty impressive history of injuries himself. So if you looked at it, you just had to think, how are they going to deal with the injuries? How are they going to get through the year? That's their first challenge. And then Frank, you know, putting together a lot of new pieces again. And Bron's missed a lot of games. You put Russell in the mix. You put Anthony Davis in the mix. I mean, that's they are what they are. You don't necessarily want to play them. And it's scary if they all ever get on the same page and if they're all, for the most part, healthy through the year. But, I mean, I think the combination of the health issues and the other issues, whatever they may be, guys fitting together on the floor from a basketball standpoint and guys fitting together from a team standpoint. I mean, just the personalities are on that team. And I know everybody wants to win, and when you get to be, you know, you get to be a certain age, it's not about the money or anything anymore. It's about winning a ring. Yeah, but there's some guys there with a history. Frank Vogel, to me, is doing an amazing job managing that traveling show. I can't call it a circus. That wouldn't be fair to them. But it's more than interesting watching all the things that exist around the Lakers. You know what I mean? Before you even talk about basketball, there are so many issues that to me, confront them and will confront them all year.
They have no idea what they want to do offensively. They Russell Westbrook, I don't know what you do with him if you don't have the ball in his hands. Right. I've said forever, PJ, that if you're going to have him on the weak side, he's got to be your cutter. He's got to be a guy that cuts to the rim. He can't be standing out on the perimeter on the weak side because he's useless at that point. It doesn't make any sense. I know he's 6'4", but he attacks the rim like a guy 6'10", so he's got to be the cutter. Then you have like an Ellington or a Monk or whoever the hell you think your shooter is, and you put him over there. But, you know, you got Westbrook. I've seen twice this year taking three-pointers to end games. I'm like, well, who came up with that? Like, who, I mean, Westbrook probably did. Like, I know you don't want to say you can't shoot. You don't want to, you got to realize you're dealing with human beings. But again, this offense, I watch this offense, I'm like, what are they trying to accomplish?
Well, I'd also like to hear the conversations after the game, because you got some, starting with Bron, you got some people that are not going to just look the other way and like say, look to the coach, say, hey, how come you're not controlling this? There are a number of personalities that I'm sure are trying to control it and have really strong opinions. And that's why, I mean, to me, I agree with you. The parts don't seem to mesh very well. That's one of the really nice things about Phoenix. There's not somebody you just worry about, stand him over there, or, you know, what can he do when he doesn't have the ball? They all seem to be able to play with or without the ball, which is really a fantastic trait. But having said, they got a lot of talent. How Frank figures out, you know, who he's going to play from night to night, and like how he manages what's happening during the course of the game is amazing. And Bron is, you know, is he still great? Yeah, he's still a phenomenal player. But I don't know that he can control a game to the extent that he used to be able to. It's really hard. Like, you know, even he at times, I thought in the bubble, and I don't think it was because of being, I know they were in the bubble. I know that was different, but that team played really well together. They did sort it out. They had a really good feel of how they were going to play together and what different guys' roles were and how things worked. I mean, in the beginning, I said, like, how are they going to play Bron and Dwight? And was it JaVale? And they were all major factors. They were all really good factors. Maybe he figures it out. Maybe he figures out how he's going to get a little something out of a lot of different guys, or in certain playoff matchups, they'll be good against this team, not against others. But boy, I'll tell you what, I would think they would love to fast forward to March or April right now, to not have to go through these to 50 games.
What a headache.
It's going to take, and that they have to survive.
What a headache for the Lakers, because not only are they not playing well, you got all these egos. Now people are talking about Fizdale replacing Vogel, and that's not fair to Vogel. I mean, it's a circus. You know, the one thing, PJ, that's surprising to me about Golden State is that every night they're holding their own inside, playing smaller. I mean, virtually every night, scoring-wise and on the glass, they're either winning those battles or losing them slightly. They're never getting destroyed. Last year, they got destroyed on the glass. But if you coach this Golden State team, they're eventually going to introduce James Wiseman back into this mix, I would think. What would you want to say to James Wiseman to help him blend in right away? What would you say to the big man, and how would you utilize him early? How do you think they will?
You know what? I'm topping out because I don't know him well enough. I mean, obviously, I think I saw half of his games his year in college, to be honest with you. I saw the game on Portland and a couple others. I don't know him well enough, but I think what Steve will tell him is he may very well be that last ingredient that they're going to need. And one of the things that, you know, you said, which is true, to give them their due, what they've done so far against big front lines or against teams that are strong inside, they've done a good job. But that's not playing a team, you know, like one of their matchups may be a team that is really good inside and has time to get ready and has time to, you know, kind of beat them down over 5, 6, or 7 games, which you don't have, you know, you don't face in the regular season. So I just think that, James, we're going to need you, and this is what we're going to need you to do. It may just be defend. It may be to rebound. You know, whatever it is, I just think that he can – it's not a question of selling him on a roll. It's a question of telling him, hey, we don't have enough without you. If you can give us these things, that makes us a significantly better team. And maybe we don't need it because maybe we're not going to get one of those matchups, or maybe we are. You know, maybe it is a Milwaukee or somebody like that that, can really be imposing inside and can really do some damage. So I think it will be easy for Steve to motivate him. It will be easy for Steve to convince him what he needs to do. The question is going to be, is James, the challenge that all young guys, is he going to accept the role? I don't think his attitude is not going to be there, but is he going to understand this is what I need to do to make us a better team? And is he going to work at those things day in and day out and be consistent, which is unfair to ask young guys to be consistent. But they may very well need him to win the whole thing because of the ingredients that he's capable of bringing to the front court that nobody else can. And I don't know that that's just because he's big and just because he's talented. I don't know that he has those ingredients. But I think Steve will have a real good handle on what are the things that they need to make sure that they can be successful against that kind of team, if that's what it's going to take in the playoffs.
Hey, PJ, I know you have the Lakers and the Nets on Christmas Day. I was thinking maybe they want to flex the Suns and Warriors into that prime spot, but probably not.
They're there for sure. I'll tell you what, there's no shortage of matchups. I mean, the league is shaping up, both East and West. I mean, there's tremendous matchups. It would appear that the playoffs and the play-in, whatever the heck they call that, is going to be even more interesting this year going forward. And, Tommy, I've been mostly packed. I had Nets, Bucks opening night. As you mentioned, my next game is Christmas Day. Then I'll get busy with my ESPN NBA stuff. But I've been enjoying the Pac-12. Our guy Tommy Lloyd, I know you're not surprised.
Yeah,
people that didn't know him didn't, you know, like, how's this guy going to be? He's never coached a game, blah, blah, blah. He's done pretty well. But interesting, Washington State, there's some good teams, some surprise teams, Utah. There's some really good – the pack, I think, is really going to be good. Nobody ever talks about Andy and what's going on at USC. Obviously, deserving talk about Mick and UCLA. But I'll tell you what, there's no shortage of storylines in the Pac-12 this year. And I think overall, there's some teams that have a chance to get better and better as the year goes on. We could have A, more teams than people expect, and B, some teams that can do some damage in the NCAA.
Well, I wanted to ask you about the Nets real quick, but since you bring up Arizona,
sure.
I gotta say, and I respect what Sean did there at Arizona. I mean, he brought in some great players, and they had some deep tournament runs, lost in the Elite Eight twice to Wisconsin. But when I'm sitting there watching the offense that Tommy Lloyd has, I'm like, good night, what would that team have looked like with that talent that Sean brought in and that offense that Lloyd runs? I mean, they would have averaged 90 points a game, because that offense and the talent's good, not great, but they look incredible. That offense is night and day from what it's been for the last 8-9 years.
No, there's no question. I didn't think Sean was a good coach. I thought Sean was an excellent coach. I agree with you. I thought he did a really good job. At times, they appeared offensively challenged, more so against zone than against man-to-man. And part of that is just the fact that they were so good man-to-man, and that was basically the only thing they ever played or practiced against. So it was hard. But, I love what Tommy has done offensively. You know, you watch him, you watch Gonzaga, okay, fine, they lost to Duke. But, I mean, it's they're a little ahead of the curve. He and Fuey, and they've got some things figured out in terms of playing with concepts and getting what guys are capable of doing on the offensive end, getting those things out of them. It's really impressive, and I'm really happy for him. I know you know him very well, too.
Yeah,
he paid his dues for a long, long time, He's off to a pretty good start, I'd say.
Off to a really good start. All right, real quick before I let you go, if you're Brooklyn, you're 14-6, you're atop the East. I mean, I think 1 through 8 are separated by 3.5 games, so it's not that big a deal. But playing good ball, they're only going to get better the more James Harden gets in shape. How do you look at this if you're Sean Marks? Do you look at it and say, you know, we're good, we're going to sit back and wait for Kyrie, and then we'll be even better when we get him? Or do you even ponder the possibility of, you know what, maybe if he's not going to play at all this year, maybe we think about moving him to a place where he could play and get something back to add to this team and make a run at it without him?
I think the latter, for sure. Sean Marks, A, is intelligent enough to realize he's got to look at it both ways. And B, like if I said there's some things swirling around the Lakers, I mean, you know, what's been swirling around the Nets from – you know, middle of the summer on. I mean, it's incredible. Joe Harris going down now is a significant loss for that team. I don't know how long it's going to be. I don't know how long they've said Joe's going to be out, but that's significant. I think you have to look at it. Now, whether somebody's willing to take Kyrie on right now,
yeah.
I think a lot of people are looking at Kyrie going, man, I don't know what's going on. I'm not sure sometimes that Kyrie knows. So I think Sean's looking at that for sure. There's always takers in the NBA, you know that, but is there going to be enough being offered that he would be willing to do a move? I mean, between he and Ben Simmons and Los Angeles, there's enough intrigue. There's enough for the insiders to talk about, for sure.
that
you can do more insiders. You don't need alleged people that know basketball here, like myself, to talk about. There's enough intrigue and sideline stories, sidebars, whatever the hell they call them.
Damn, unfortunately, they don't have any more draft picks. That'd be awesome if the Lakers got him. Add him to the mix. How great would that be?
It would fit right in.
It'd be perfect.
It'd be strong.
It'd be strong. Hey, PJ, we always appreciate the time. It's always a lot of fun talking to you, and maybe we can give you a call, talk a little Pac-12 hoops one of these days as well.
Love to. Thanks,
Larry, PJ.
Rod, great being with you guys.
Thanks, PJ.
Thanks for coming on, brother. We always appreciate it.
Not all guarantees are created equal. That's what makes the Total Trust Guarantee from Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service so special. It gives you 20/20 vision into the work we do. And now, you can get $10 off any 17-point oil change. Go to speedyoil.com/save for details. Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service, where you're in and out and back on the road with full service and total trust. Most vehicles discount off regular price. See store for details. See website for details on the Total Trust Guarantee.